In the scripture reading that James had in James chapter 2 and verse 26, the body apart from the spirit is dead. When you consider the subject of death, you realize that it is everywhere and all around us. I think each of us probably travel each day in our car down some road where we pass a cemetery. We pass a church building that has a cemetery. We pass a city cemetery. We see that all around us. Death is a constant reminder. And when we turn on the news, there is usually someone in the news, someone that is well known, maybe an actor or a singer or someone like that, that is reported on as having died that week or that day. Maybe those of us who keep in touch with other brethren, you'll get an email or something in social media that will mention where a particular brother or sister in Christ has passed away, and we hear about that on a regular basis. Death is common to all mankind. If you'll turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we want to look at a couple of passages with regard to the reality of death and how common that really is in our lives. And this morning we want to talk about when the spirit departs. And James says that the body apart from the spirit is dead. The spirit is gone. The spirit has left. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. But before we do that, I want us to be reminded of the common reality and experience of death to all mankind. And if the Lord chooses not to return, our name will be among those that have passed away. Our name will be in the obituary. Our name will be on that grave tomb, or that grave stone. And so we need to understand the reality of death. And Solomon in Ecclesiastes, a few of the Ecclesiastes passages reminds us of that. In chapter 3 and verse 19, "For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, and man hath no preeminence above the beast, for all is vanity." No preeminence in the sense that they're all on the same plane when it comes to dying. Verse 20, "All go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to the dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man, whether it goeth upward, and the spirit of beast, whether it goeth downward to the earth?" Look at chapter 7 and verse 2. "It is better to go to the house of mourning," talking about, we would say today, the funeral home, "than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men." See, death is common to all of us. "That is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to heart." Well, some will. The wise living will lay it to heart. Many don't. Many don't care about death. They're just having a good old time, and they're not taking it to heart. But Solomon's point is the wise will, and hopefully we will. Look at chapter 9 and verse 5, "For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten." We know that we're going to die. We know that that is common. And so we need to live our life to the fullest. Verse 10, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in Sheol," or the grave, "where thou goest." So that's where we're headed. And it's common to all men. But what is death? What is death? And what happens at death? It's when the spirit departs. And we want to talk about that this morning. But then if you'll notice my last question there, who is dead? You might be thinking, well, that's obvious. The person that's at the funeral home, you see, the person that's in the casket, the body that's out at the graveside. Well, we're going to see this morning that there's a little bit more to that. We're going to see this morning that there are other people that are dead too. There are other situations in which the spirit has departed. And that's what we want to examine this morning. We know that we're not physically dead. We're living here. We're sitting here. We're standing here. We're singing. We're praying. We know that we're not physically dead. But there's another sense in which we can be dead. There's another sense in which the spirit can depart, and that's what we want to examine this morning. With regard to physical death, It's when the spirit departs. The spirit of man is what is keeping the body alive. When God made Adam and Eve, He made them out of the dust of the ground, and He took some of that dust of the ground and He formed man. And the text says that He breathed the spirit of life into them. What is keeping us going this morning, unlike the atheist, what is keeping us going is a belief that there's more to us than just the physical body. It's not just neurons. It's not just, signals from the brain to the muscles. It's not just purely physical and biological. There's a spirit inside of us, and that's what makes us different from the plants and the animals. And when a person dies, the spirit departs. If you've ever been in a room when someone took their last breath, it is quite sobering, as I have on a number of occasions. Sometimes I'm called to that situation, being the minister or the preacher, the family would want me to be there. And what you'll find is, you'll see the chest go up, and it goes down, and it never comes up again. And that's it. That's it. It's quite sobering. It's quite interesting to be around that. And at that moment, the spirit has departed, never to return to that body. And so it's that spirit that is keeping that breathing going. Our atheist friends and those who do not believe in God and things like that, they just believe that it's just purely brain signals and things like that. And we talk about being brain dead, and just the heart just didn't want to pump anymore, and the brain didn't want to work anymore. It's just purely physical to them. But the Scripture tells us it's when the spirit departs. Now, that could be an old age, or we could be cut off in our youth. It could be an illness. It could be a tragic traffic accident, something along those lines. But the spirit's gone. And it's that spirit that is keeping that body alive. And James tells us that the body, apart from the spirit, is dead. And let's just remind ourselves why James used that illustration. Turn back with me to James chapter 2. James is not saying here, he's not writing along here, and he says, well, by the way, I'd just like to talk about death for a minute. It's an illustration. It's an illustration of what he's been saying from verse 14. It's an illustration from what he's been saying in verse 14, and that is that faith apart from works is dead. Faith apart from works is dead. Look at verse 17. When something is apart from something else, it's dead. And so the illustration in verse 26 is to illustrate faith. It's been a lesson on faith from verse 14. Active faith, living faith, working faith. But when faith is apart from that which is showing itself, obedience and activity, then it's dead. Just like the spirit apart from the body is dead. And so look at verse 24. You see that by works, activity, obedience, a man is justified, and not only by faith. We hear so much today about faith only, faith only, faith only. Well, the word not is there. Not by faith only. It's not a faith. Go back to verse 14. It's not a faith that just says something. Look at verse 14. If a man say he has faith and has not works, can that faith save him? People say things all the time, but they don't show it in works. And so it's the saying and the working and the showing, you see. And so both of those are necessary. And so verse 26, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead. It's just non-existent. And so we have to have an active working faith, more than just saying something. And so when that body chooses in God's time frame, in God's providence, it's not just purely mechanical and physical. Well, the heart stopped, the brain stopped. No, in God's providence, that spirit is no longer going to be in that body, whether it's due to old age or something else. And it departs, it leaves. And it goes into a place to await the judgment day. Turn with me to Luke chapter 16. The body is going to decay in the ground. The spirit lives on. And so we find in Luke 16 the rich man and Lazarus, and they're both dying. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and that he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. He was carried away. What was carried away? Well, his spirit was. His body is in a grave somewhere. His spirit is carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, he lifted up his eyes. He, what part of him? Well, his spirit, his conscious spirit. His body is in the grave. So, the spirit lives on, but it departs. And when it departs from the body, that is death. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. When the spirit departs. I want you to be getting the point this morning, and we need to be getting the point, that it's the spirit that gives life. Underscore that. It's the spirit that is giving us our life. And this is what is going to be important for the rest of the lesson. We're dead when there's no life in us. And there's no life in us when there is no spirit in us. It's the spirit that gives life. And in our case, it's our spirit, our soul, that God gives us. In talking about death and old age and some of the indications of old age, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, beginning in verse 2, using poetic language, Solomon talks about how the eyes begin to go. You don't see as well. And the hearing begins to go. You don't hear as well. And he begins to talk about different things like that, down through verses 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But look at verse 7. And the dust returneth to the earth as it was, and the spirit returneth unto God who gave it. God gives us our spirit each time a baby is born. As that baby is conceived and as that baby begins to grow, God gives that baby a spirit. Paul talks, the Hebrew writer talks about in Hebrews chapter 12, about verse 7, the father of our spirits. You see, God gives us our spirit. And so it returns back to the one who gave it. Physical death. It's when no life is in us. Well, it's when no spirit is in us. The spirit has left. The life has left. And so we are dead. But I want us to consider something else. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. We're talking this morning about when the spirit departs. And we're all familiar with physical death. And we've all been, I'm sure, to funerals. And we've been to cemeteries. And we understand physical death. But we need to consider something else this morning. What about local church death? Well, it's the same situation. It's when the spirit has departed. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1, we read about how that there is a church here at Sardis, and they have a name that they are living. Well, just stop and look at that right there. What would that involve? Well, we're not given an exact picture of Sardis and where they met and all that type of thing. But no doubt it would have involved things like we know where the church meets, and they have a location where they meet. And they have a time when they meet. And we know that certain ones in town, that they are associated with that church. They have a name that they are living. There's some things that people could say, there's a church in Sardis. Whether it's Church of Christ on the sign, whether it's a building, wherever they're meeting, they have a name. People know that they're there. But you are dead. Look at the text. You're dead. I know thy works. You have a name that you livest, but you are dead. And what I want us to understand this morning is that they were dead for the same reason we're physically dead. The spirit has departed. We can have a name, brethren, here at Memorial Boulevard, where the spirit has departed. Well, we've got Church of Christ on the sign. And we come and we take the Lord's Supper and we go through the motions and we do those kinds of things. Sardis had that. Sardis had something going on there. I'm sure it was an assembly. I'm sure people were still coming. They had a name that they were living. There was a reputation in the community for there being a church in Sardis. But they are dead. It is possible to have a name that you're living, but you're dead. Now let's ask this question. How did that happen? Well, keep reading there. Be watchful and establish the things that remain which were ready to die, for I have found no works of thine perfected before my God. They weren't completing the task of working. They were just keeping house, as it were. They were warming a pew. I come in and I sit down. I fill my spot. There's Church of Christ on the sign. There's 3 meeting times a week. We come in, we go through the motions, but we're not getting things done. They needed to repent, verse 3. Look at verse 4. There are a few names in Sardis that did not defile their garments. The implication is others did. And so what's making them dead is that there is defilement in the church and there is incomplete works. But turn with me to Romans chapter 8. I would suggest something else. The Holy Spirit has departed. The local church members are not walking after the Spirit. They're coming in and sitting in a pew. They keep singing the songs. They give. They take the Lord's Supper. They've got their Bible class workbook filled out. But the members aren't walking by the Spirit. We're not following the words of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. We want to be careful, brethren, that we don't end up with local church death, just like Sardis. Because the Spirit has departed. Oh, no, we keep coming. And we keep coming into the building, but this is what is going on. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 4. That the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He's been talking about, since chapter 6, some things involving the flesh. If you look at chapter 7 and verse 5, that we were in the flesh, the sinful passions. To walk by the flesh is to walk by what we want to do. We're not living by what the Spirit says in His Word. Those who walk after the flesh, who will not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 4. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now look at it. For where the mind of the flesh is, death. For the mind of the flesh is death. Underscore that. But the mind of the Spirit is life. Why? Because where the Spirit is, there's life. And when the Spirit's not there, there's death. And so when the Holy Spirit, when we're following His words, when every member is walking by the mind of the Spirit, and you know that you're walking by the mind of the Spirit, and I do too, when we are bearing the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 23 and 24, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, so forth, we're walking after the Spirit. We're bearing His fruits. His Word, His example, His influence is in our life. We're minding the Spirit. There's life. But when the local church members are walking after the flesh, well, how do I know if I'm walking after the flesh? Well, the works of the flesh, Galatians 5, 19, all of those things that are listed there. And there's much more there than just sexual immorality. There's jealousy and envy and faction. Those things are there too. Well, when I'm walking after the flesh, there is death. Look at it. Those who mind the flesh, it is death. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Why was Sardis a dead church? Because they had members in it that were walking after the flesh. They were not following the Spirit. Brethren, this morning, I want us to be reminded and encouraged not to be a dead church. If there were to be a spiritual autopsy made of this congregation, would there be life or would there be death? A spiritual autopsy. Where the examiner comes in and tries to understand the cause of death. What would be the cause of death at Sardis? Well, there was some defilement there. Works had not been completed. There was an autopsy done by Jesus through John, if you will. And it was determined that they were dead. Autopsy, literally meaning a self-examination to look at closely. If we were to take one of Memorial Boulevard, would we be living or dead? I hope that we would be living because each member is walking after and minding the things of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at a few things. Do we pray in the Spirit? Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, turn with me there, also in Jude 20, that we are to pray in the Spirit. When we're praying, when one of the men is leading our minds in prayer, our minds need to be in the Spirit. We need to be praying in the Spirit, praying at all seasons in the Spirit. How we do that is our spirit is in tune with what the Holy Spirit wants us to do, how to live. And when that man is praying those things that are in accordance to God's Word, we're seriously thinking about that. And when we say amen, that literally means truly or so be it. We're going to go out and carry out what we said amen to. Do we sing with the Spirit? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And be not drunken with wine wherein is riot, but be filled with the Spirit. Look at it. Speaking one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's how you're filled with the Spirit. Speaking. Those words that follow describe how you're filled with the Spirit. You're filled with the Spirit speaking, singing, making melody, giving, those ing words. That's how you're filled with the Spirit. When we sing, is it just going through the motions? Is it, well, you know, I already know the song, and I find halfway through the song that my mind's in neutral because I've got them all memorized. Some of us have been singing these songs from when we were that tall. We got it memorized. But we have to be singing in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals His Word. He's called the Spirit of Truth, John 14, 26. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2:13. Is our preaching and teaching with the Spirit? That is, we're simply going to preach and teach the Word of God, no more and no less. When Paul talks about his work as an apostle in revealing God's Word, he didn't get his Word from man. It didn't come from man. It came from the Spirit of God, verse 11. The Spirit of God revealed God's mind, verse 12. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Spirit teacheth. That is what is going to be our Bible preaching and teaching, just simply the Spirit's words. Why do you have to have so much Bible in your class and in your sermon? Because we want it to be Holy Spirit-filled teaching. We don't need to get up and give, look at it, verse 13, that which man's wisdom teacheth. I think and I feel. And this is what the scholars say. And this is what this author said. And this is what this expert says. No, that's words which man's wisdom teaches. We're just simply going to give what the Bible says. That's why there's a lot of Bible in the sermons. That's why there's a lot of Bible in the class. We're just simply going to give what the Spirit says. Because we want to be a Spirit-filled church, not in some charismatic Pentecostal kind of way where it's some better felt than told thing, but Spirit words. Praying in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit, preaching with the Spirit. Turn with me to Acts 13, verse 52. We need to have joy in the Spirit. As the Spirit's words enter us and we truly obey them and carry them out in our life, we're going to have that joy that we're supposed to have. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, with regard to getting along with our brethren in the local congregation and not pushing opinions and things like that, we need to stand for truth. But when it comes to personal scruples and opinions, we're not going to bind that on somebody. Paul says, what is the kingdom of God? It's not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy that comes by carrying out His Word in our lives. We're going to be happy while we're here. We're going to enjoy to be with our brethren. We're also going to have that comfort that comes. Turn with me to Acts 9 and 31. This keeps us from being dead, brethren. When we're praying with the Spirit and singing out, sing out. Sing out. Sing at the top of your voice. When the preaching is based upon the Spirit's words. When we're happy while we're here. When we're comforted with all the problems that go on in life. When we take the Spirit's words into our life each day that we get up, we're going to be in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. This will not be a dead church. The devil will have to go somewhere else if he wants a dead church. We're going to keep alive. The Spirit's going to be here. And when the Spirit is in the body, it stays alive. And when the Spirit is in the local church, it stays alive. And that's what we want. And then last of all, we're to have the love of the Spirit. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, turn with me there. When the Holy Spirit words are in us truly, and we're not just in name only, but we're truly getting up each day, walking by the Spirit, we're going to have love one for another. Because the love of God hath been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which was given unto us. The Holy Spirit was given in different measures in New Testament times. Sometimes it might be the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it might be given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, Acts chapter 8. Here, I believe it is in more of the general sense in that He has been given to us through His Word. But look at it. The love of God, which was shed abroad, how? Through the Holy Spirit. We're taught about that. And so we're going to have that love in our lives. Be careful. Just like there's physical death when the Spirit departs. Sardis, the Holy Spirit had departed. They were not walking by the Spirit. They're walking by the way they want. And it was a dead church. One last thing that we want to look at this morning. When the Spirit departs, there is death. Not only in physical death, not only in the local church, but turn with me now to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 6. We need to be careful that we are not a walking dead Christian. You know, we have all of these, there's video games and movies that deal with zombies. What are zombies? Well, you know, they're just fictional characters. We don't have anything like that literally on the earth where you're sort of half dead and half alive. But think about that with regard to us as an individual Christian. The Scripture says, Paul says here, that we can be a Christian and be walking around and we're dead. Well, how is that? Well, in this particular context, it's about people who will not take care of their own family members. That type of thing. Physically caring for them and so forth. Verse 4, if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them learn first to show piety towards their own family and to requite their parents. That is, pay them back. Make sure that you're taking care of them in their old age. And we have members here that are doing that, and it's extremely challenging. But that's what the Scripture teaches. Look at it. For this is acceptable in the sight of God. The world may not care about that, but this is what God wants us to do. Verse 5. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate hath her hope set on God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that giveth herself to pleasure is dead while she liveth. There are some Christians that are dead while they're living. Well, what is that? Well, it's answered in the same verse. She's giving herself to pleasure. When we have sin in our lives, we're a walking dead person. What's happened? Well, we've shut the Spirit out of our lives. We're not following God's Word. And we're a Christian, and we keep the name Christian, and we keep going to the church service, but she's dead while she liveth. These things also command that they may be without reproach. There was reproach in this person's life. There was sin in this person's life. Turn with me to John chapter 6. As a Christian, to keep us from being a walking dead Christian, we need to make sure that each day the words of the Spirit are in us. That's why daily Bible reading is important. That's why daily Bible application is important. Not just reading, but applying what we've read so that we get up each day and we have life in us. We're not just a walking dead Christian. In John chapter 6, when Jesus had been talking about eating my flesh and drinking my blood, to keep people from getting the idea that he was talking literally about literally drinking blood and eating flesh. He wants to make the point that this all has a spiritual application. It is the Spirit that giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I have spoken unto you, the words are spirit and are life. We have to keep the Lord's words in us, and when we do that, we'll have life in us. Look at verse 66. Some didn't want that. They left. Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They didn't want that. Peter says, Jesus said to the 12, "Would you also go away?" Simon Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." That goes back to verse 63. Why would we want to walk away? You're the one that's giving us life. Your words give us life. And so we have to keep that in us. Turn with me to Acts chapter 7. Some people don't want that. They don't want the Holy Spirit's words. They don't want to hear gospel preaching. They don't want to hear the words of the Holy Spirit. They've got their mind made up. They're hardened. And there's an example of this in Acts chapter 7. Turn with me there. When Stephen was preaching in Jerusalem, he's preaching to a group of Jews who you would think would have known better. You would think that they would want God's word. They're Jews. They've had experience with God for hundreds of years. But no, we find them in Acts chapter 7 when Stephen is preaching, verse 51, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, you do always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did." Well, how did they resist the Holy Spirit? Look at the next verse. "Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute?" When they didn't listen to the prophets, they didn't listen to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was speaking through the prophets. And you don't want the Spirit, he says. You're stiff-necked and uncircumcised. You always resist the Holy Spirit. And when we get up as a Christian each day and we resist something that the Spirit is telling us, we're just a walking dead man. It's because the Spirit, it's what's going to give us life that day, spiritual life. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. The Apostle Paul says to the brethren there at Ephesus, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit." Well, how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, first of all, that's an interesting verse. It tells us that the Holy Spirit, contrary to our Jehovah's Witness friends, the Holy Spirit is not just an inanimate force. He is a personal being that can be grieved. Just like any person can be grieved or saddened or sorrowed. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you do that? By rejecting His words, by not listening to what He says. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. Paul says, "Quench not the Spirit." Quench not the Spirit. When you quench something, when you quench a fire, you run up to it and you throw water on it and you put it out. And when you quench the Spirit, you do not allow His words to work in your life. Notice how the very next phrase explains what it means to quench the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Well, what do you mean by that, Paul? Despise not prophesying. Because the Holy Spirit was working through those New Testament prophets. And when they despised prophesying and they said, "Well, we're not going to listen to them in the church," they were quenching the Spirit. They were saying, "You're not going to have influence in my life." Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4. We need to be careful. We're all familiar with physical death. But have you ever thought about Memorial Boulevard, like Sardis, being a dead church because the Spirit's not there? And have you ever thought about me or you or an individual Christian being a dead Christian while we're living, you see? All three of them have the same thing in common. When the Spirit departs, there is dead. There is death. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4, talking about someone who was once a Christian. "For as touching those who were enlightened," that is, with the truth of God's Word, "and tasted the heavenly gift," that is the offer of forgiveness of sins and the prospect of going to heaven, "and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit," that is the gift of the Holy Spirit, what He gives, the gift of salvation and partaking of His words and all of the blessings that come from His word, "and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then fell away." Well, I don't want to be partakers anymore with the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be enlightened anymore. I don't want God's Word anymore, you see. We've shut that out of our lives. And we know of brethren who are like that. They're erring. They need to come back. They need to repent. But they're walking dead men. Outwardly, they're religious, but inwardly, they're dead. And isn't that what Jesus said to the hypocritical Pharisees of Matthew 23:27? You're whitewashed on the outside, but inwardly you are full of what? Dead men's bones. There's death in you. Look at Luke 15:24 with regard to the prodigal son. When the prodigal son was out wasting his inheritance with the harlots, what did the father say in verse 24? He was once dead, now he's alive. That's the point. But when he's out there, he's having a good time. Physically, you're feeling great. And your friends might be applauding you. But you're dead because he was not living the way God wanted him to live. In Galatians 5:19 through 23, we can either be working the flesh, which Paul said in Romans 8, if we're working the flesh, it's death. And all of those sins that are listed there in verses 19 and 20, all of those things there, if they're in our life, we're just a walking dead person. We might still come to services. We need to be bearing the fruit of the Spirit, verse 23. Turn with me to Jude 19. There are people who outwardly, no doubt, are appearing to be very religious. But within, Jude says, they have not the Spirit. And that's the true test. Not this outward appearance. What will I come into a building and I sit in my pew? And outwardly I look. No, what's on the inside? These are they who make separations. They are sensual. Literally, that Greek word means following what the mind says, what we want. Having not the Spirit. And so, it's gone. Well, then what are they? Well, they're dead. And so we need to be careful about that. Now, the lesson is yours. I believe physical death is obvious. We know when someone's dead. It's like the Roman soldier when he came to Jesus in John 19:33. The text says, and when he saw that he was already dead. We know when someone's dead. I believe that that's obvious. But I don't think local church death is so obvious. I think Sardis probably thought they were okay until Jesus comes along and gives them the true autopsy of what the situation is. And it kind of reminds me a little bit about Samson. Turn with me to Judges 16 and verse 20. I don't think local church death is that obvious because, well, we still have Church of Christ on the sign. And we're meeting three times a week and everybody's in their pew. Well, no doubt at Sardis there were some things going on there that were giving them a name that they were living. There were some things going on at Sardis where people could say, well, you know, I guess there's a church there. But Jesus, in an introspective kind of way, says, no, you're really dead. And we've got to be careful about that, brethren. We've got to each examine ourselves. Are we walking? Are we members who are walking by the Holy Spirit? In Judges chapter 16, do you remember there when Samson finally reveals the secret of his strength? And Delilah puts him on her knees and cuts his hair off. Judges chapter 16. She said, the Philistines are upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. But he knew not that Jehovah was departed from him. I'm just going to go out like I've always done. And we'll just go to church like we always have. We got a Church of Christ sign. Everything's, you know, normal. But they don't know that God has departed. Underscore that in your Bible. I believe that there were those at Sardis that didn't know that the Lord had departed until the Lord told them. In fact, in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, he tells Ephesus that if you don't repent, I'm going to come and remove your candlestick. That doesn't mean he's going to take the church building away. They can still keep coming to the church building, but their candlestick's gone. Their influence is gone. It's a dead church. Just fill in the pews. That's why we have to stay active, brethren. We have to stay active. We have to stay unified. Each of us has to be walking by the Spirit. Otherwise, 10, 15, 20, 20, whatever it is, down the road, there'll still be a building. There'll still be warm bodies in it, but it'll be a dead church. And the brethren, if you ask them, they're like, oh, I didn't know the Lord had departed. I'm going to get up each Sunday and go like I've always done. And Samson said, I'm just going to get up like at other times and just go do it. And nope, it's gone. And so we have to be mindful of that. And with regard to our individual Christian lives, we constantly have to keep working. The solution to spiritual death on an individual level in Revelation 2, verses 7 and 11, we've got to keep hearing what the Spirit says each day. Then we know that we're alive. And we have to keep working. Some of the admonitions in Revelation 2 and 3 are keep working. Do the first works. We've got to be active. We've got to be working. We've got to be hearing what the Spirit says. And then last of all, we have to keep our body a temple of the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that happens is a Christian in time just slowly declines. Do you remember 1 Samuel 16 and verse 14? It was talking about Saul there. He woke up one day and it said that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him and he sent an evil spirit. What was Saul's problem? Almost from day one, it was a spiritual decline, wasn't it? Do you remember in 1 Samuel 13? He didn't want to wait for Samuel to offer up the sacrifice, so he did it himself. Do you remember two chapters later, he wouldn't utterly destroy the Amalekites like he was told? Remember that? And then we get down to chapter 16, verse 14. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord departed, and he sent an evil spirit upon him. What is that? Just slow decline. And Saul gets up that day thinking, well, everything's normal. No, it's not. I've declined from God, and now he's left me. So as a Christian, each day, instead of declining, we have to stay faithful. We have to keep the Holy Spirit's words in our life. I like Psalm 51:11, where the psalmist says, Lord, keep the Holy Spirit near me. Keep him with me. That needs to be our attitude. And our body must be kept a temple of the Holy Spirit. We're going to use our body and mind only for what the Holy Spirit would have us to do in his word. Well, are you dead? No. I'm breathing. I'm talking about spiritual death. Am I dead? Is this church dead? It's dead when the Spirit departs. I don't believe it is. I believe we have members here who are walking by the Spirit. But only you know the truth. Only I know the truth. Only God can look into your heart. Only you can look into your heart. We see each other outwardly. We all can look at ourselves inwardly. Let us be a church that is alive, where the Spirit hasn't left and gone down the street to some other group. Let us be the church that is alive. Let us be the individual Christian, not like the 1 Timothy 5:6, dead while she's living, but living while we're living. Living with those words of the Spirit. When the Spirit departs. You know, we expect that in physical death. And the chest rises, it goes down, never to rise again. And we expect that. And we're familiar with that. And it's around us every day. But we need to also watch this matter of local church death and individual Christian death. There may be someone here this evening that needs to move away from that spiritual death, having sins forgiven, if we can encourage you to do that. Let us have the Spirit in us each day, not the Spirit departed. And you know what? We don't want to wake up on the judgment day like Samson. Think, well, everything's fine. But he knew not that the Lord had departed. We don't want that great day coming, thinking everything's fine when it's really not. So let's take this opportunity to make our life right. If we need to do that in some way, if we can help you or assist you, why won't you come as we stand and sing?